Welcome to Delmarva Today. I'm your host, Harold Wilson. During this time of the coronavirus lockdown, we're looking at the ways in which our listeners are coping with the stress brought on by family and individual isolation, social separation, store closures, and the anxiety even of venturing out for ordinary necessities like groceries. My guest today is Delaware author Betty Kaspersky, who is currently recovering from COVID-19. Ms. Kaspersky has authored 4 books, including a novel, 2 short story anthologies, and her latest work that came out this year, Generations, a historical anthology of family history and writings. I'm recording our conversation in my home studio today, and Betty is joining me on Zoom. Betty, welcome to Delmarva Today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm, of course, in my home office in Georgetown, Delaware.
We're all doing the right social distancing thing, Betty. That's good. Tell me how you believe you contacted COVID-19.
Well, I was hurrying to complete my 4th book, Generations, and because my older brother, Bob, was celebrating his 85th birthday on St. Patrick's Day. So my editor and I, Gene Marks out of Berlin, Maryland, were rushing to get it completed so I could deliver it personally mid-March. So actually the delivery came March 10th, so I was good to go and traveled March 13th to join in the family celebrations. Made 2 stops to stepdaughter deliver hers and to my son and his family on later on the 13th, because they all had articles in the book. And went on Saturday to my brother Don and his wife to personally deliver their copies. Had lunch with them in their condo in Northern Jersey and sat right at the table with Don and his wife and presented them their copies. And had a lovely visit. And after lunch, Don went off to the gym to exercise. And I went over to brother Bob and his wife and her sister that lives with them to present them their copies. And, Don joined us for a little more time of going over family photos. So Don was again with us that afternoon, all of us fine and healthy. And so, just a good time of family sharing. I stayed there that Saturday night and we went to worship together Sunday morning. And I had told Bob that I wasn't going to stay the extra night just because of the spreading of the virus and concern that, we should all just keep distance, even though it was a good time to be sharing his birthday. So we went to worship and from there went over to the golf center, the country club Bob belonged to, just to have a luncheon. So again, we were together in a large room. Actually, they were closing down the club that afternoon and the golfers were downstairs getting their equipment, but we were upstairs at a private luncheon, just 6 of us actually. So I left from there and went home to Delaware. And about 4 days later, I get a call from Don that he was in the hospital. I said, what happened? I thought you were going up to Vermont they have a second home in Vermont, just a ski place that they go to from time to time. No, I landed in the hospital with a very high fever, but I expect to be out tomorrow. The fever's broken, I expect to be out tomorrow. And unfortunately that ended up being my last conversation with him. Don, 82 years old. He came down with the virus and he got just sicker and spiked a very 104 fever and ended up on a ventilator and died on March 29th. I began feeling ill just around the same, about the 19th of March, just weakness, loss of appetite, and just stayed home, take care of myself, no high fever, and, just feeling weak, flu-like symptoms. And I thought about being tested. I was in contact with my doctor locally and just really didn't have the energy. At that point, I would have had to driven 18 miles over to Beebe in Lewis to be tested. So just self-care. I mean, do you have any other questions at this time for me, Hal, or just keep going?
No, let me review, if you don't mind, review your symptoms for us. What were you feeling?
Just really weakness, you know, not the high fever, kind of just the loss of appetite. Not really the other people complain of loss of taste and smell. I really did not have that. No severe nausea, a slight cough, but nothing deep, nothing that would have concerned me that I had pneumonia or, you know, or really nothing severe congestion, no shortness of breath. And other people have different symptoms, you know.
Tell us what made you go to the hospital then.
Just continued weakness. My son was in contact with me and other friends were kind of checking on me. And, you know, you're getting weaker and weaker. Don't you think you should go to the hospital? So finally on the 30th, after I'd gotten the news that my brother died on the 29th, you know, I said, well, okay, take me to the hospital. And when I first got to Nanticoke and Seaford, they weren't sure they were even going to be keeping me because my symptoms were not that severe. But, you know, chest x-ray revealed some problem there. I was not told immediately that it was pneumonia, but a chest x-ray was revealing a problem. And then a CT scan, I guess, showed more of a problem. I gave the nostril test twice. First, because I was probably not being admitted, so it goes to one lab. And then when it was decided that I was going to be admitted, they redid the test. So goes to a different lab for whatever reason. So I was admitted first to a regular room and then upgraded to ICU. And I was in the hospital for 8 days. Not severely, you know, I did not have any pain, but it was double pneumonia. And there were two blood clots, one in my chest and one in my leg, that were, of course, related to the virus. I was on oxygen for about 3 days, but did not require, you know, ventilator or any of that. Was able to feed myself and, you know, was not, I guess I had a lighter case. That there I was very fortunate.
When you went in the hospital, were the admitting doctors and nurses in protective gear?
Oh, yeah. Everyone, from the people, the EMTs that took me to the hospital, to the police that had come, you know, initially because it was a 911 call, everyone was in full shields and protective gear. Yes, everyone that came in, they came in and I said, I've seen enough yellow plastic for quite a while. Everyone that came in was in yellow plastic and full plastic shields over their face and everything, you know, and gloves.
So tell us again about your treatment. You had oxygen, but that was about it?
Yeah, oxygen. Well, of course, I got the antibiotic. I was severely dehydrated, probably is what made me, convinced me to get to the hospital, because you just keep getting weaker and weaker and you cannot get enough fluids into your body. I was drinking ginger ale and water, but you cannot get enough fluids in your own body at that point. And that contributes to your weakness. Again, not a real high temperature. The highest temperature, and I was taking my temperature twice a day, the highest temperature I ran was 100.4. So I was nowhere near what my brother ran, which was 104. Oh. But I was certainly very shaken with his passing. We're a very, very close family.
So were you in a private room? Were you in a COVID unit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, total isolation. Nobody near me. Even the minister that called, he couldn't come to my room. You know, I had asked for a clerical visit.
And clearly you tested positive when they did the tests?
Yes, it took a couple days to get the test back, not the 5 days, but it took a few days. And then they started me on the combination of the two medicines. Fortunately, I responded well to those, you know.
So how long were you in the hospital, Betty?
8 days. Monday, and the best day of the hospital was the following Monday on April 6th, when the doctor came in and said, you beat the virus. and I was discharged later that day, that Monday.
Well, that's wonderful news. I'm sorry for the loss of your brother, though.
Yeah. And so I came home on the 6th, and I was brought home by ambulance, and they helped me into the house, but then I had to be alone. I'm widowed as of July of 2018. And so I was alone in my own house and nobody can come in. Even there was no follow-up agency care because nobody can come in when you're in quarantine. But people did bring, you know, the necessary food that I needed and left it, you know, just outside my door and I could pick that up. But I didn't really realize how weak I was when I went to make an omelet on that Wednesday, the 8th, and I was just exhausted, just trying to make an omelet for myself. So then, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Betty.
Then friends, you know, from church and other friends brought hot meals to me, left them out right outside my door. So then that's when food started to taste a little good. The Sally's first pot roast meal tasted real good. So that was that Thursday, the next day. And then they put me, another friend, Marilyn's, Emmanuel, her husband delivers Meals on Wheels in the Lewis area. And they put me in touch with Meals on Wheels, and we're coming up to the Easter weekend, but they cut through the red tape, and I got contacted on Tuesday, and the following Wednesday started with the Meals on Wheels, which I get. They bring you one hot meal and four frozen ones, and that's helping me out now. I'm thankful that that started right away for me.
How are you feeling now?
Well, I'm getting stronger each day. I still use what's known as a rollator, that kind of steel thing you can push around in the house, and my energy drops off, still like dropping off a cliff. My energy drops off, so then when I need to sit down, and I usually still sit down preparing, even just heating up the Meals on Wheels in the microwave, I get it organized, but then just sit in front of the microwave while it heats up. Same with preparing wash and stuff. I'm doing all those things myself. I am past quarantine. As of the 20th, I am past quarantine, but the only driving I've done is to, you know, drive in place. I have not gone into a store, nor still not walking down to get the mail at the end of my driveway. My neighbor brings it up, and I have a ramp in the garage from based on my husband's needs. So there's a ramp, and she brings it up and leaves it in the basket at the bottom, at the top of the ramp.
When we chatted earlier, you had mentioned that you have a, not necessarily a walker, but a device that you use to help you get around the house now.
Yes. Well, it's wheels. It's called a rollator. I don't know if it has another name than that, but you can sit on it, and it's very sturdy. It's not like a walker that you have to lift. It's not aluminum. You can sit on it and lock it so that you can secure yourself so you don't tip it, but you can sit on it and walk and use it to sturdy yourself for walking in the house. Four wheels, sit on it when you need to, when you're tired, or just use it to guide you in the house.
You find that you need it now?
Yes. I still use it. It's just a matter of safety. I've got a little, I'm a Yankees fan from Northern New Jersey. I'm here 15 years, but you know, the pinstripes followed me. So I've got a little Yankee pouch on the left side where I put both phones. I carry both phones with me no matter where I go in the house, the cell phone and the home phone. And on the right side, there's usually water or juice, just a matter that I carry them with me to the other parts of the house. Another pouch.
Betty, there have been over 50,000 deaths nationally. Mm-hmm. And in Delaware, at least as of April 25, there have been 112 deaths due to complications from COVID-19. Yes. Why do you feel that you survived when there are so many people who haven't, unfortunately, including your brother?
Well, I don't know that I can really answer it. I feel very fortunate and grateful that I'm in the other group. But, you know, I know there have been thousands of people praying for me, but obviously there's thousands of people praying for the people that did not survive. I think that I had a milder case. You know, of course, there were other people that were at the party, and my brother that passed, my brother Don. He was very active in many organizations, and we have no idea where he contracted the virus. But, you know, other family members were around him, and I was the only one that got it. So, you know, I was fortunate that I must have, you know, I survived, and my life is permanently changed. I'm grateful and thankful, but, you know, stronger appreciation for life and for those that helped me. I give great thanks to the hospital and to the even the Meals on Wheels lady that got it for me quickly, and for, you know, the people that just bring me food and remember me day after day. And you have to deal with the isolation. I have two friends now that are tested positive, and one very close friend since college. She seems to have a residual heart condition from the virus, which she did not have. And you never know where it's going to attack. I might have residual kidney condition from it, or, you know, or a lung condition. We don't know that yet. I don't know that I have immunity. Nobody can answer those scientific questions. I may be fortunate that I don't, but I may have that.
Were you in good health generally, Betty?
Well, some underlying conditions, but, you know, I was certainly healthy when I drove 200 miles to New Jersey to deliver books and go to a birthday party. Yeah.
You said that your life has changed significantly. Right. You just mentioned what might be changed in terms of your physical condition. If at all, how has your mental condition changed? How has your attitude toward life changed?
Well, mental condition, let me deal with the mental condition first, Hal. The second day I went to drive my car, it happened to be a chilly morning, and I was stopping by the church to just wave to two people. The secretary, Barb, and I are close friends, office administrator, so she came out and waved. And I dropped an envelope for her on the ground and waved to her, catching up 6 weeks of offering. People should do that. Don't forget, the churches may be closed, but they still need money. So I dropped my offering on the ground, and she went back inside, and I asked for the pastor to come out. And Pastor Jerry came out, and I said, well, while I was waiting, I was getting cold. Well, waiting for him to come out. And I looked at the car that I've owned for 20 months, and I looked at it, and I could not figure out how to put the heat on. Something so simple as that. It's my car. You've driven this car for 20 months. How could you not know how to put the heat on? And in that moment, I realized that, you know, you have some temporary memory issues going on here, and that's because of the virus and the weakness. Mm. I could not figure out, and of course it came on because the car had not been running long enough. You know, I only live three blocks from the church, from Georgetown Presbyterian. I live three blocks. It had not been running long enough. So I did figure out, okay, if you press the red button, it'll make it warmer faster. And I did that, but it just kind of struck me, kind of a V8 moment when I could have had and why can't I put the heat on in my own car? But, you know, it's that sort of thing. When I first started to do emails, I couldn't keep up with the 300 backed up more than 8 days in the hospital. And I didn't do emails week before that because I didn't feel well. I couldn't deal with all that. I couldn't deal with all that jumbled up electronic mail. And, you know, it was very difficult for me, happened to be captain of our prayer chain at the church, and I couldn't even convey, the fingers were getting twisted up as far as being able to type things out. So it's things as simple as that, that I'm sure the people that are having some memory issues get very frustrated when they're trying to communicate and it just doesn't come out right. But on the bigger scale, I've just finished book number 4, Generations, about the family and the extended family. And I use it as a blueprint for people that should write about their family because, you know, I asked my brother Bob, please write what it was like to be a young boy on Pearl Harbor Day, which he did, and that's in the book. And our mother fortunately wrote about us when I was kind of the surprise. child. So she wrote about me when I turned 40 and my brothers when they each turned 50, about what it was like to raise them. Anyway, so those stories are in the book. So anybody can do that because you have some family history, everybody has it. So, but getting back to changes in my life and little long-term changes, I was challenged a couple of years ago at our conference, what will be your next book? What's your next title? And my next title, after my husband of 30 plus years passed in July of 2018, was My New Beginning. So my title for my next book is My New Beginning. But now it's my really new beginning because, you know, I have a little different approach. I think I'm going to be a little more dramatic and do things faster because I don't know how much longer the new beginning is going to be. Nobody knows that. But I think this virus is waking us all up that, you know, we need to enjoy our families, enjoy our lives, enjoying that it's just good to be able to walk a little closer to somebody in the park. So enjoy it.
Betty, have any memory issues basically gone away now?
Yeah, I can type a little faster, but not everybody's a good typist, so that's going to be a problem. But no, it's coming back. The concentration is certainly improving, but I'm still a little bit aware of it. Certainly that not being able to find the heat, that was a bit of a wake-up call, you know. But that was the second day out, you know, after being quarantined. I was not unhappy in quarantine. I knew that it was safe for me, and I'm still not going out. Even a friend of mine who would usually bring her dog over to visit, I said, you know, if you come over, it'll be a quick visit because, you know, I don't know what germs you're around, and I'm safe because now I'm virus free, but I don't know what germs that person's been around. And I said, please don't bring your dog, because again, that's another exposure that they don't know what animals might bring, or likewise what we could bring to our pets. So I'm being super cautious, and I'd advise everyone. I saw, okay, a friend of mine, close friend Kay, did take me down to see the ocean because that's something I wanted to see last Saturday, just to see the ocean. We always have to check that it's still there, right?
Wow, absolutely.
It's got to see that that ocean's still there and that the waves are doing it the right way. So I went last Saturday to see the ocean and to see my other friend who's in quarantine, just to see her on her porch and me still down in the car to wave. And so we stopped down near the hotel down there in Rehoboth and got out to see the ocean and checked that it's still there. It's there, I can report. But that was a treat, but that really exhausted me, but that was a good thing to see the ocean. So coming back, we stopped at on Route 9 at one of the dollar stores for something I needed, a loaf of bread, not a big deal. And I'm in the car and my friend went in to get the fully masked, and I had my mask on in the car. And a young woman comes out and three young children with no masks. And I thought, you're taking a big risk. Don't do that, and please protect your children. So please, everyone, protect your families. A mask is not a big thing. Pretend you're playing Lone Ranger or something. Just do it.
Are there any other cautions that you would recommend for people now, Betty?
Well, this is hopefully a temporary thing, and we're being asked, you know, I miss baseball. I miss many things, but so what? Yeah, we've been a privileged society for a very long time and could do whatever we wanted, kind of almost when we wanted to do it. But, you know, I guess we need to just go back and appreciate when it was the life on the prairie and, you know, watch some of the old Westerns and appreciate all we have that they didn't have. So it's a matter of appreciation. And, you know, certainly my faith plays a huge amount in my life and the many lives of the people I associate with. And throughout that, and that's in my book, and that no matter what's happened in my life, and I've had many challenges, that I've never been blamed God or been angry at God, and God has always been with me. And one other person that I do want to thank is you did have people have asked me, well, do you think we should open up? Maybe we're overdoing it with all these restrictions and this and that. No. I think the governments and many of our states have to do what they're doing, that you need to protect the people, because maybe, you know, even my grandchildren building up, they're 10 and 8, They're building a fort in their living room. Well, good. They're being creative during the time of the virus, and it's kind of cute the way they're next to one another with their little battery-operated candles, etc., reading inside their tent. That's a good thing. Be creative and get through it. I think Governor Carney in Delaware and governors and mayors of big cities, yes, you have to tell people to not do things, and it's difficult for the businesses that have had to close, but saving a life, saving one life by doing those things is more important than the restrictions. They're doing a good job. Keep it closed as long as you have to.
What would you suggest to people who think that they might be infected with COVID-19?
Well, get as tested as soon as you can. I have a daughter of close friends at church that she just got tested yesterday and they're waiting it out. She's in her home. They have three children. She's just staying in the bedroom. Not even the dog can come in. You know, and she's exhibiting some significant symptoms. Just get tested and isolate yourself.
You were tested in the hospital.
Correct.
Where would people go who live in Delaware now, or at least in your area, to be tested?
Well, I know they had testing just recently over at the Dell Tech campus right here in Georgetown. I'm sure if you call the health department, I'm sure they, in fact, I was officially released by the Delaware State Health Department and got a letter of release from them in the mail yesterday, as a matter of fact. But they called me every other day to check how I was doing. Now, that's good health care. I want to thank them, too. They called me every other day not to check on me because I was a statistic, to check on me because I'm a person.
Well, I want to say how pleased we are that you're doing well and that you seem to have come out of this, at least from what you know now, in fairly sound condition. Do you feel that way?
Well, I know I have a pulmonologist that I didn't have before, you know, for the lungs, and I will see him. I already had telemed appointments, and, you know, they won't know until they test me in 3 months whether I'm on a very heavy blood thinner now that I wasn't on before to hopefully break down the blood clot in my lung, but they won't know until they examine me in another 3 months with another CAT scan whether that's gone, and that's a concern. You know, you don't want that moving anywhere, but you can't live your life in fear. You have to move forward, you know.
Well, no, that's exactly right. You have to look forward. You have to move forward. No question.
I got to write another book. What else I got to do, Hal?
And you've got another book to write. That's right. Well, Betty, good luck with your recovery.
Thank you. I know we know each other quite a long time from you know, writers groups, etc. But you know, it's a shock and it's a blow, and not being able to have the family to get together with losing Don, and you know, that's very difficult. And I feel my other brother keeps talking about how thick the obituary pages are in northern New Jersey, where it's much more, you know, much more dense population, and it's just goes on and on and on. So I mean, we're fortunate that we're in a smaller population area, but it doesn't make the loss any less significant. So my heart goes out to all the others that are dealing with the huge tragedy that this virus is impacting.
Well, Betty, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to come on Delmarva today. And again, I want to say good luck with your continued recovery. And I want to thank all of you for listening. Please stay safe, stay well, stay at home, and listen to the medical experts. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Harold Wilson.